Hey guys, this is Chael Sonnen. Make sure you check out my podcast, You're Welcome. We talk about MMA, we talk about professional wrestling, politics, anything you need to know about today's top issues so that you can sound intelligent, and you get them all from me, your humble host, America's favorite gangster. Make sure you check me out. You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. New episodes every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at Podcast One App, Apple Podcasts, and of course, PodcastOne.com.
Hey guys, let me tell you about AMSOIL. Many drivers today are looking to move beyond stock performance. AMSOIL brings that spirit to the engineering of their synthetic motor oil, combining top-tier synthetic technology with unique additives. The result is an oil capable of protecting your engine up to 25,000 miles or 1 year between oil changes. AMSOIL synthetic motor oil shields your engine from the two biggest bumps in the road, wear and deposits. Wear on pistons and cams can lead to a host of issues, including loss of power. AMSOIL provides 75% more engine protection against horsepower loss and wear than required by an industry standard. Deposits on rings and pistons can lead to compression loss, compromising fuel economy and power. AMSOIL synthetic motor oil delivers piston cleanliness 93% above the industry standard. The proof isn't just academic. AMSOIL tests in the field and on the track in extreme conditions and using the most demanding high-performance engines available. Check out AMSOIL.com/shift for more information. AMSOIL, devoted to protection.
Shift and steer, racing, rides, people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Banjor, Pete Shapiro, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
I'm Brad Banjor, and with me, of course, is Matt, the Motorator DeAndrea.
Hello.
How's it going today, man?
It's good. It's been busy. It's good to be back in the studio, you know, traveling around, doing that SEMA Garage event, Syracuse Nationals. We just got back from Monterey. We have to talk about that. But we've got...
We got one flat wheel and one wobbling today.
There
okay?
you go.
I mean, the wobbling wheels, Pete, his chair's empty, but that didn't deter him from getting a hold of us. Pete, welcome to the show from Michigan.
Yeah, we're here in Wyoming, Michigan, which is a suburb of Grand Rapids for the 28th Street Cruise. And how many years is that we're here? This is the 12th year of this cruise. I'm here with my pal Steve Sturm. We interviewed him last year on this deal, Brad.
I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. He just wants to say hi.
Throw him on the phone. Let's say hi to him real quick.
All right. I'm going to get him right now. Hey, guys.
Hey, Steve. How you doing?
Good.
It's been a while since we spoke. I think it was when Pete got back from last year is when we did that, right?
Yeah, it was right after Pete got back from our event last year, and you guys had me on that.
So how's your weather this year?
Oh, fantastic. Sunny skies, nice breeze, no humidity, couldn't ask for any better.
And the people are just piling in today?
People have been coming in since about 5 o'clock this morning, just one right after another.
Is this a one-day event, Steve, or does it go multiple days over the weekend?
Yeah, it goes, starts at 4 o'clock tonight, goes till 9 o'clock, and then we're, again, 9 to 5 on Saturday, and then we're all done at the end of Saturday.
That's awesome. So let's get this down. You have, like, close to 300,000 people show up, and how many cars? 10,000?
15,000 cars, 300,000 people, yes.
I guess free beer and booze just attracts a lot of people, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we are Grand Rapids, it's Beer City USA, so... You know, if you build it, they will come. If you brew it, they will come.
There you go. So tell us a little bit about the event. What kind of cars are we going to be seeing out there over the weekend? And who other than our own Pete Shapiro is going to be joining you?
Yeah, This year we've got a real nice display set up. We got a really nice 57 Ford Thunderbird that's a original factory E-Bird, 2.4 barrels. We've got a stock 33 Ford 5-window deluxe coupe. We've got a nice Model A pickup, and then our shop truck, which is a 51 Chevy. And, we've been cruising around in some hot rods and some customs and trying to keep Pete out of trouble.
Oh, don't do that. That's no fun.
That's a tough job.
He told us, he goes, I'm going back to see Steve. I'm going back to Michigan. I'm going to get in trouble.
I'm sorry?
I said, Pete told us that he was going back to see Steve in Michigan. He was going to get into trouble. That was his plan.
Yeah. Well, you know, the weekend is still young. So,
well, that's true.
I'm sure by the end we'll be in lots of trouble.
Well, that's good. Well, you have a great show back there. Why don't you throw Pete back on and we'll finish up with him so that he can go get in trouble with you.
Awesome. Thanks, Brad.
Hey, thanks, man.
Hey, man.
So you're ready for getting in trouble back in Michigan. And I asked Steve, I said, it is amazing how many people show up for free beer, right?
Oh, yeah. Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, they tell me, is a hot tip here.
There you go, a PBR.
I haven't had any Pabst since I was in high school, so we're waiting. It should be good. Carol's here with me, too.
Oh, hi, Carol.
She survived the run from Victoria, from LA to Victoria and back, so that all worked out good.
Yeah, you got a little bit of a sunburn on that trip.
Yeah, we're packing up the green car, and it's getting sent to Japan for Shige's Moon Eyes 20th anniversary.
Cool.
So we're gonna be traveling over there too. So it's
that sounds amazing.
Busy. Yeah.
Never been to Japan.
I've been there and been to Shige's show, and it is awesome. The enthusiasm level blow you away, and the people are polite on top of it.
Oh, it's amazing, really. I mean, I know amazing, we keep saying it, but, yeah, you know, Matt, we got to figure out a way to get you there, buddy. You'd really enjoy it.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Did you forget about me? You know, I'm sitting here, too.
You've already been there.
You only get to go once.
Wait a minute. You can't be saying that, because how many times have you been, Pete?
but you got thrown out of the country, as I recall.
Well, that's beside the point. I'll go under an assumed name like Aaron Hagar or something.
Didn't you go over it with Boyd?
Yes.
I think that was the problem, right?
Yeah, we did, and I got to drive Shizum through Tokyo, which was probably one of the highlights of my life. I mean, driving that car through downtown Tokyo was awesome. So,
and did you take it over to where they box them up? Did you take it through Chinatown?
No, I didn't. Shige actually took it over for us because we split. We just left the car with him.
Oh man, that's a trip. I got to tell you, going through Chinatown in a hot rod, they hate us. It's just really funny. They just hate us. They hate the noise. We take about 10 hot rods through there, but there's about 40 motorcycles. All the choppers go through there. Man,
that's awesome. Culture clash. So what do you got? What do you got planned? Are you doing autographs back there? Or are you just kissing babies and?
Yeah, we got the Dog and Pony show going, and people are really nice. So Steve's got some Euro cards, and I got some Euro cards, and we're going to see who can burn through the stack first. Then tomorrow, Carol and I are going to help judge the pinup contest, which is a 40 styles girls, you know, from the Betty Grable look.
Uh huh.
They're not actually born in the 40s, though, right? Because
it's a little bit different.
We don't want any Rosie the Riveters up there, Pete.
Yeah, well, I got to tell you what, I saw some of the talent this morning, and it's not bad. It's pretty cool. And then we're gonna be picking a car like we normally do, some kind of a custom, you know, and then it really is. I can't tell you how huge this crowd is. It's better than going to a football game at the Coliseum double, you know?
That's awesome. Well, hey, we have one mission for you while you're back there. Matt and I were talking about it. We want you to say to every single person that you meet this weekend, just say, hey, Brad and Matt couldn't make it from Shift and Steer. but they say hello. Could you just everybody you meet this weekend? Okay,
I can do that. You know what I did? I brought the hero cards from Artie's party.
All right,
and I did.
Good.
And I brought our business cards, and I've already given away a whole bunch of them. I mean, you know, people, and then after you told me what we were doing. With Adam, I mean, I think that's just so fucking just as cool as it can be, you know. God damn.
Yep, we're growing. We're getting big, Pete. We'll be global after this.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, just to set the record straight, we are working on Aaron's car finally. Just to set the record straight.
Oh, good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They're not getting paid, but they're working on his car.
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah. So we're spending some of Aaron's money.
Good. So, I'm glad to hear.
Yeah. Well, it's sucker needed a little bit of work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You're talking about Red Voodoo, right?
It's... We're talking about Red Voodoo and the one with zero travel.
Yep. It's a rat rod.
Yeah.
More so.
It's surreal. Anyway, we got that thing squared away, so it's looking pretty good. And
cool.
So everything's good back at the ranch, and this place is filling up. And so I got to go to work.
Okay, brother. Well, hey, you have fun. Say hi to everybody. Give Carol a hug for us. And you enjoy your weekend back there at the Hot Rod Show with Steve.
Okay, good. Well, Steve says goodbye, and we're gonna roll on.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, Pete. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, guys. All right. Thanks. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, no problem. You know, we were gonna deny it, but then I said, let's just go ahead and talk to him.
Okay, buddy.
Okay, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Right. Okay, bye-bye.
So that was Pete Chaporis, our member of the team, calling in from out on the road.
Pete's such a good dude.
He is. He's just
such a good guy. He's just out traveling the world and looking at hot rods and going on trips with his wife and getting burnt by the sun. When you drive your Roadster
2,500 miles, dude.
You know, he came back and I was like,
that's hardcore.
Your nose burnt off. He's like, yeah, I got a little bit of sun.
And even more hardcore is we're doing that SEMA show.
Yeah.
And he literally drove in from his trip, hadn't even been home, and came in to do the show. And then he comes in and looks at us and goes, I'm not going to stick around for the second half. I'm a little tired. Yeah. We're like, yeah, you think?
Yeah.
So,
oh, man. So we got some exciting news, though. We just got back from Monterey, and there was a lot of stuff going on.
Not Mexico, by the way.
No. California. Monterey Car Week. In Monterey, California, and I was up there running around with Adam Carolla and our crew out there, and you were running around filming stuff for BBC, right?
Yeah,
for BBC.
BBC
what was the name of that show?
It's called Gentlemen Drivers. They're going all over the world shooting guys who are into vintage cars and vintage racing cars. And one of the cars that I got to see, they're following this guy, Matt, and has a car that when I was a kid, I used to watch in Formula One and just go, oh, that's the coolest car. It's called the John Player Special.
Yeah, I love that car.
Oh, that car is gorgeous. And this guy, I go, so I understand you own the John Player Special. He goes, yeah, I have them. And I go, what? He goes, yeah, I've got them all. I've got them all.
Oh, he's like Corolla with his Newman cars.
Just gonna
this guy's
say,
got all the John Player Special cars.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about the show real quick. So you were hosting just like a segment or an episode of a series?
Well, what it is they're going all over. They decided to come over to the U.S. to do the Laguna Seca, you know, races, the vintage races, mm-hmm. the Rolex vintage races. But because there's so much that surrounds, like as they described it, everywhere else they go, it's just a midway, and that's it. But there's so many things surrounding this that they reached out to me to kind of be their tour guide of everything that's going on, not at the racetrack. And the excitement level on their end was just like they couldn't believe it because, you know, the first time you go, you're just flabbergasted. The parties, the shows. I mean, there's Matt, I mean, come on. There's a show for everything, right?
There is. Oh, we plan our entire schedule around our food and oyster schedule. You know, just our caviar and booze schedule, which is the best part of that event.
Yeah, and you got to kind of jump from place to place. But even like shows, it's like, okay, this show is only for non-air-cooled Porsches. And, you know, oh, were there any other kind? Well, no, but this one's for this, you know. But
yeah.
It really gets down to the segments. And so they were really – so I was producing and hosting. And
so when and where do we see that? Do you know yet?
They're going to film a total of 6 episodes. Then they'll edit it, and it'll be in January. They'll start airing it. But
will it be on BBC America out here? Or
they
no?
don't know yet. Right now it's BBC Worldwide, which is everywhere else but America. They said for sure on BBC, you can get it on like their website. But they're saying that there's an interest level that it might be on BBC America as well.
So you'll keep us posted on that so we can see. See your fancy face.
Well, I'll see the clips first, and if I look good on it, then yeah. I'll keep you posted.
Otherwise, you'll be like, that show just didn't. Didn't take. Somebody
never
didn't hit record.
Somebody will go. Well, I was over in France, and I saw you. Yeah.
That wasn't me.
No, they cut you out, Brad. So,
yeah.
But no, so you were up there with Corolla, and
yeah, it was a hectic weekend, right? Because we planned on racing. Adam wanted to drive one of Paul Newman's cars. We were thrashing on that car.
Does he know where to get one of those?
He happens to own one. And then this one was, so we spoke about it probably on this show and a CarCast before. It was Paul Newman's Camaro, but originally he raced it as an Oldsmobile Cutlass. And it had the Pepsi livery on it. It's most known for that. So Bodie Stroud cut the roof off of an Oldsmobile he bought for $800 and put it on this car and put a whole new body on it and turned it into an Oldsmobile Cutlass. It has the naturally aspirated Buick V6 engine in it, which is, I don't know, like
they call them porcupine head.
Do they?
Because they're like, when you take the valve covers off, they're like a big block Chevy. But it's a V6, and that's what really put Chevrolet head and shoulders in all the SCCA and ISCA racing back in the day.
Yeah.
And I want to address one thing, because you mentioned something, livery. And it came up to me, one of my crew, when we were filming up there, they kept speaking of livery and explain to everybody, because I don't think every one of our listeners understand when we refer to it as livery.
Yeah, stickers.
Yes, stickers. It's how the car was dressed out at the time.
Yeah, all the sponsorships and the branding and stuff on it, and these days also like sort of the color scheme. But I think maybe livery would be best described as the paint scheme along with the sponsorships and contingencies stickers.
And sometimes the ownership even.
Yeah, and the ownership as well. So thrashing to get that car ready. And the schedule was we go up there Tuesday night. We preview some of the auctions that we want to check out on Wednesday. Sonny's with us, Adam's 10-year-old. So we're going to go by the aquarium, which is badass over there. And then Thursday, start practice racing. The guys will show up with the car, get it teched on Wednesday, practice race Thursday. Hit the Quail event on Friday, which is a great event, and it was also one of the featured, I guess the theme was the 50th anniversary of the Lamborghini Mira, which
there were a ton of them there.
There was 25 on the lawn.
Wasn't that amazing?
And I was told that there was 25 on the lawn, and the largest single gathering of Miras was 27 cars at one point.
Wow.
But if you think about it, there's 25 on the lawn, but we had a Mira SV in a trailer, and there was others rolling around for the Concorso Italiano. There must have been 28 or 30 Miras in town. But 25 of them on the lawn. It looked like somebody opened a bag of Skittles. It was just like every color you can imagine.
Right,
it was just
right.
like just a bright blue and a lime green and a yellow. And anyway, so we were going to do that event. And then race on Saturday, the qualifying in the morning, the race in the afternoon, and then Pebble Beach on Sunday. And we get there, we're on the phone with the Pebble Beach people. I'm sorry, with the Laguna Seca race people. And they're like, no, that's not the run group you're in. You're racing Friday and Sunday.
Oh.
I'm like, those are the worst days. And we've committed to events, and we're very hungry, so we have to go to the
yes.
Quail Lodge.
Well, there's free food.
We're sober right now, so we got to go to the Quail Lodge event. And we committed to having this car. We're debuting this Lamborghini Mira SV at Pebble Beach that Bodie Stroud's been working on. Of course, it's Adam's car, and everybody at the shop's been working on that car as well. So the guys were thrashing to get two cars done. They worked 24 hours. Tuesday night to get the race car done, and we call them. We're like, we can't race it because it conflicts with the schedule. Now we're in the wrong run group. Like, you know what? Just leave the car there. Forget the big dually truck. Go rent like a sedan. load up all your guys, just come up for vacation. And they're like, all right, let's do it. So they went up, they had a great time, didn't do any racing. But
did they drop the phone and go to rent the car before you even finished your sentence?
They were like a little bit like, damn it, and then a little bit relieved.
Yeah.
You know, and Bodie, by the way, built a Lamborghini Miura in 4 months. And
I know.
Cars we competed against were there for 2 years. Now, Adam didn't win.
They were at Bodie's shop, too, for 2 years?
No. But Lamborghini brought one that they were working on for 2 years.
Yeah.
And we didn't win, but it was just because of a little thing. So, like, it's got the wrong gasket here, and you got the wrong radiator cap, but everything else was amazing on the car. Really, it just needed Adam's attention to detail in, like, 2 more weeks, and hands down, it's the nicest mirror in the world. And 2 of the 3 cars that, like, podiumed, the first and second place car, both had to be flatbedded out.
Oh, really?
They didn't run, yeah. Meanwhile, our car fires right up, drive right in the trailer, take it home. There was no problem. Like, that's the difference between, I guess it's funny because that show is such a cosmetic show. You know, the Pebble Beach lawn when you're being judged.
Yeah.
And a guy like Bodie, who builds hot rods, spends so much time on chassis development and suspension and engines and tuning. And our buddy Ray McClellan at Full Throttle Customs.
Yeah, getting it running.
Like, those are the guys that work on those cars. And so mechanically, this car is flawless. And the paint's amazing. The interior is amazing. It's this gorgeous blue on blue. And Bodie's like, there's a small crack over by the, you know, drain plug. I'm going to fix that and weld it so it won't drip. And we're like, okay. But meanwhile, though, you know, we've got, like, the wrong radiator cap.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so the car works great. But here's the thing. At the end of the day, would you rather take it home and go, hey, this shit doesn't run, we have to pull the engine, or go, we have to swap the radiator cap and a steering wheel because they're incorrect? Like, I'm going with radiator cap. So Adam was absolutely ecstatic about how that car looked. It got tons of photos. It's wonderful.
The car kicked ass. I got to see it up there and talk to Adam a little bit about it. And then, I mean, the colors and that interior color is so, you know, different, which really differentiates it. But, you know, I mean, along the line of that judging and stuff, I mean, when you look at the cars that are up there, and those, what were there, 4 or 5 mirrors on the lawn?
I think there was 5 mirrors.
And I mean, when you look at it from a judge's standpoint, it's got to be a radiator cap or something like that, because
that's it.
When they're all perfect, there's got to be something so minute that differentiates the winner from the not winner, you know, and that's what it is. It's something really odd. Like, well, the lug nuts are supposed to have this, you know.
I'm telling you, there's the big clamshell in the back of the mirror closes, and there's a gasket that goes around,
mm-hmm.
and we have the gasket go around the whole clamshell, which obviously
makes
sense. And
Bodie just put gasket seal on there?
No, it's right. And then the guy goes, oh, no, they were done with just half of it done in the gasket. It's basically got the sheet metal, almost like, you know, piece of sheet metal.
Right.
And you pinch the gasket along the edge.
Yes.
And, you know, almost like a weather stripping when the thing closes. You could put a gasket on the whole thing. The sheet metal's designed for it.
Yeah.
You know, and it would close and
seal up.
But it
didn't come that way.
And it didn't come that way. Only half of it was done because someone was cheap or lazy when they made the car. And they're like, no, it's supposed to have half a gasket. And little things are like, by the way, you have the correct sticker on the fuel pump, but it's not in the right place.
Yeah.
And they knock a point off for that. It's like, yeah, but our car runs.
Well, I stood at a judging for Corvettes once, and I was standing back there in Indiana. I'm listening to these guys, and it's also subjective because there was this guy there, and he goes, no, I worked at the Corvette factory. And he goes, yes, most of them had that clamp on them. He goes, but if it was a Friday and we were out and we wanted to get out of there, we'd walk over and just grab one of these. He goes, so really?
Yeah.
You know, and then there was a Corvette that the chalk markings on the rear end, they were talking about that. And there was this beautiful car, and it lost because the chalk markings, when you looked under the car, you could read them. And the judge goes, he goes, your chalk marking's correct. It's the correct color and everything like that. However, it's supposed to be upside down. And the guy goes, what do you mean? He goes, because when they assembled the chassis, they were upside down, and then it got flipped at the end before the body got put on them. So all the markings were upside down. So, I mean, all that stuff is a little bit, you know, it's like,
That's the thing,
Maybe Luigi just cut the gas stick short because he wanted to get out of there, and they didn't have any more left.
Some of the older ones, like the 350 GT, on the driver's seat next to the tunnel in the seat, sometimes the emergency brake is on the right side between the seat and the tunnel, and sometimes it's on the left. And we asked people, and they're like,
they didn't have enough cable.
No, just whoever put it in.
Yeah.
If that guy was righty, lefty, whatever. What we did learn was no two Lamborghini mirrors are the same. It was funny because the guy who's like the head of the Lamborghini Club of America, he's a great guy, this guy Andrew, he knows a lot about these cars. And we asked them, we said, what are the proper bolts, you know, the heads of the bolts that bolt on the tailpipe, the chrome tailpipe extensions. He's like, oh, it's this flat bolt with the single, you know, like it's a regular screw, but it's kind of a flat, kind of low profile.
It's got a flange
profile
on it or whatever.
And he goes,
yeah,
I'll show you. And he crawled under one car at the Quail, and he's like, that's not it. And then another one, he's like, that's not it. That's not it. He literally went through seven
that's
cars.
Awesome.
He's like, apparently it's not here.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so every one of these guys doesn't know which bolt it is, but you do, right? And, or they just, you know, whatever. So there was no real way to do it. So anyway, that car came out great. I'm very happy about that car. Looks amazing. It's back home now. And Bodie should be working on my car for SEMA, which now that we're 2 months away, and the car is basically a shell. He's got a lot of work to do.
He had 4 months to work on the mirror, so, you know.
That's right. And he had my car's been sitting there for 2 years. But it really comes down to, it probably won't be done.
He'll probably go, oh, man, I'm sorry, it's close, but just not.
Well, so he did me the favor. We had lunch the other day, and he told me now that he's like, it's probably not going to be done, you know. And it's going to be in the Takiko Shocks booth in Central Hall.
Uh-huh.
And I had the conversation with them today, and I was like, good news, the car's not going to be done, but this is why it's awesome. And I was like, because now we can really show the suspension, because we're going to not put fenders on the car. And and God bless those guys at Takiko. They're like, we kind of like that idea too. So Bodie displayed a car last year. He built that Eleanor Mustang for the band Imagine Dragons.
Okay.
And that wasn't supposed to be at SEMA, but he has the cool Roush supercharge engine, and they had a booth outside. He's like, why don't I just stick it in there? And it was basically the chassis with the engine in it and the unibody shell, but with no hood or fenders in the front. And it got more attention than anything, because now you can really see the metalwork and the mechanicals. And that turned out to be badass. And now that we're thinking, my car is in the booth of a suspension company, not a paint company, or, you know, like, or Mothers or Meguiar's or something, you know. So this might be a cool opportunity to really see what's underneath.
No, I like the spin on it.
Because we're doing some cool things on the suspension and extending the wheelbase and whatever. So the buzz, as you've probably heard on CarCast, is we went to go buy a car. Adam, his love of Paul Newman has gotten the best of him.
Oh, let's wait on that. Let's build up so they got to hear the whole show.
Yeah.
We should take them because I mean, Monterey is so fucking awesome. I mean, that show, Matt, is like, for people that have never been, you know, I don't care if you're into Camaros or Mustangs or hot rods or trucks or whatever it is, everybody loves exotics. I mean, you know, just the pure bitchiness of them. And Monterey has got to be the only place where, you know, one of these cocktail parties we're talking about. I went to one out at the Carmel Valley Country Club, and I pulled in, and there were 10 Bugattis parked in valet. 10 in one place.
Yeah.
And then more crazier than that was that I went two other places over the weekend, and it was the same thing. Yeah, and you know, and then you see F40s, and then you see center drive McLarens. And
we were all at the Ferrari event, Casa Ferrari. Is that what
Yes, Casa Ferrari, yes.
And that was amazing. And they were doing ride-alongs in Ferrari Californias and stuff.
Lusos.
And that's just a great event. But here's the thing. It's like, you're absolutely right. Every car guy should go to Monterey, by the way. And like, if your significant other, doesn't really like the cars that much, it's still badass. Like, you could go wine tasting, you do some things. Now, it's not an inexpensive event.
No,
every ticket is expensive. It's expensive. So, like, doing the Quail Lodge is like $500, and Gordon McCall's event's like $700. But here's the thing, you don't need to do all that shit. I say you go up there, you spend 3 or 4 days, you have a little vacation, maybe you break away from the car stuff, and you know, you go wine tasting or something. But I would recommend two things. Spend $50, go to the racetrack. Go to Laguna Seca on Saturday. Watch some of that vintage racing. Watch those Porsche 935s.
Where have you been buying your tickets, by the way? Somebody else been buying them for you? The racetrack's now 100.
Yeah.
Quail is 1,000.
Okay. I did. We bought some race tickets. I thought it was it depends on the day.
Yeah, Saturday it's $100.
All right. So if you go Saturday, it's $100. But here's the thing is there's the NBC Suites Hotel in Monterey, and we're and then across the street there's a Shell gas station.
Yes.
And they have a deal to sell tickets, and they'll sell them for $80.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, if you go to that Shell gas station, if you don't buy them advance online for the inexpensive rate, you go to that Shell gas station at the track for $100, you can buy them at that Shell for $80.
Wow.
Okay.
That's
there's
cool.
A little tip for you. So look up that Embassy Suites in Monterey, you'll find it there.
Matt with the travel tips.
So go to the track, watch the vintage racing. If you go
it's
early
awesome.
In the morning, all the chitty chitty bang bang cars are out there, and they're just pedaling like they have like a steering wheels are like 33 inches in diameter.
And the guy's pulling the lever to adjust the timing.
He's wearing his goggles, and the thing's going 18 miles an hour, but his sensation of speed is phenomenal. And he looks like Snoopy with a scarf going on it, like all the way up to the Porsche 935s, BMW M1 Pro cars, and just
Ferrari 250 GTOs, a $22 million car dicing around the track.
So definitely go to the track. That's a hell of an experience. Even if you don't like the racing, just walk around the pits for a day and look at some of the machines that are there. I say do that event once, and then for the whatever, $175 or whatever it is, do Pebble Beach once. Get yourself a little blazer and some really bright orange loafers and no socks and do Pebble Beach.
And you'll
Beach,
fit right in.
And you'll just see the greatest collection of one-off cars in the world. And
not to mention people. I mean, just walking around, of course, Jay Leno. Of course, Matt DeAndrea from CarCast.
I heard
was
he was there.
Brad Fanshaw from Shift and Steer. Clint Eastwood. Adam Carolla, and I mean, they're standing around, car guys, just
but,
walking around.
Dario Franchini, we spoke to him. Marino Franchini, we spoke to him that was there. Your buddy Dave Merrick, that you do Man Seeks Adventure with. He was one of the judges, I believe.
Yeah, he was.
For Pebble Beach. They announced, I heard his name on the PA, which probably made him blush, by the way. They're like, Dave Merrick, global design head of
Acura.
Yeah,
he jumps out and does a soft shoe.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, and car guys too. Lots of great designers, and I spoke to Mr. Lamborghini, the son of the founder of Lamborghini.
And one of the judges on the Miro was Valentino Balboni, who is the guy that basically was the factory test driver and drove every single Lamborghini made up to like the Gallardo.
I mean,
he's just been there forever. Yeah, it's like, he doesn't speak English.
And they're there. I mean, well, Mr. Lamborghini, he goes, I have a tendency to just keep talking and talking, so you just go ahead and just butt in on me and tell me. And his hands are flying. He almost hit me in the face a couple times, but told me about
juggling
like,
meatballs.
I mean, he told me the whole story firsthand from how his dad went over to Ferrari and said, hey, I've got this tractor motor. We should put it in a car. And
Ferrari's like,
get
hey,
the hell out of here.
Cool.
Yeah, you know. And so, I mean, those are the kind of things that happen at Pebble Beach. So, yes, spend the money. It's worth it.
Yeah. So those are the two events that I think you should do. And then go to some of the auctions. That's badass as well. I mean, RM's out there. Meekum's out there. Gooding's out there. Bonham. A whole bunch of things. I don't think Barrett does a Barrett Jackson does
no,
anything
no,
out
you've
there.
Got Meekum,
but you will see
Russo.
Craig Jackson out there in his AMX or his Javelin, whatever the hell he
wasn't
races.
Racing this year.
He didn't race this year, but he's usually out there sawing at the wheel and that thing. You'll see Vic Edelbrock out there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he took your advice this year because he said he's raced every year. And he's, you know, been running back and forth. And he said this year he was just going to go to parties, go to the events, and check everything out. And
he did. And I must have seen him at three events.
Oh, he was everywhere. Yeah. And but you talk about the auctions. I went to RM Sotheby's on Friday night and sat one row behind a guy who bid. He didn't win the D-Type Jaguar, but he bid up to $19 million. I think the car went for $21.
I heard that it was literally like some guy like kicked open the door at the last minute. He was on the phone, former guy, and he's like, $22.5 or whatever, $21 million.
It was like,
it was like a movie.
It was. They were like, going once, going twice. And it had been this battle among like three people.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden some guy way in the back goes, hey, you know, and they're like,
yeah.
That's what? Really a bid? You know, they're like, yes.
Who are you? Where'd you come from?
You know, it was awesome. And that's kind of stuff. I mean, Where else do you see somebody spend $21 million? Nowhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was crazy.
Some cool cars. The auctions were moving some pretty cool things for sure. And then, and of course, we all ran into our boy Aaron Hagar at the Quail
yes.
event. And his dad came in and brought his LaFerrari. And you chatted with him. Adam and I had a nice chat with him. And the LaFerrari, by the way, I didn't tell this to Aaron or Sammy at the time. But at auction over the weekend, a LaFerrari went up $5
million. Two of them.
I mean, $5 million.
That is a great profit, man. You buy it for, what, $1.5 million?
Yeah.
And sell it for $5.2 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Wow.
So the but no, let's talk about Quail, because Quail's so interesting, and it's not as well known as like Pebble Beach and like that. But
producer Chris ate his weight in oysters.
You could. I mean, the Peninsula.
He's not a big guy, but he did his weight at least.
The Peninsula Hotels that own Quail, which is a big golf resort, they set up like these lavish like areas, and one was. They're themed after their hotels. So there was the Beijing Peninsula, and it was all Asian food. And then you go over to Paris, and that's probably where he had his oysters,
yeah.
right?
So it's outdoors. It's on the lawn. And in the middle on the lawn is this whole group of show cars, the 25 mirrors and whatever. And sort of around, almost in a circle, but just sort of around all of these cars, there's these food tent booths, you know. Also, the other displays that are there would be like, there's a Learjet, there's a helicopter you can climb in. If you want to buy a helicopter, you know, they're out there pitching it.
I did, by the way, while we were there.
Of course you did. Yeah. I mean, geez.
I got to get from building to building where I store my cars.
So you go around to the tent, like you said, they're themed by, you know, either a country or a certain hotel. And then in between all of these booths, there's wine stations, beer stations, Scotch and bourbon and all the fancy little glass boozes.
And I have to admit that I was there working, doing the BBC, so I didn't get to drink or eat a damn thing.
Well, we ate and drank enough for everyone.
Well, good. I'm glad you did, because you got my money's worth. Because all I had when I was interviewing Sam, he said, Brad, you got to have a drink with me. And so we did have one drink of his Beach Bar rum, which was one of the tasting stations.
Did you pay for it?
Hell no. So, and but on the grass, like you said, mixed in with those, there were some hot rods. There were some bike, custom bikes. And I even saw a cheetah. You know those?
Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, there's a little bit for everybody there. It's really cool. Mixed in with the multi-million dollar cars, you know?
Yeah. And then there's the factory displays, Bentley, Pagani, you know, Maserati, and then some concept cars.
Yeah, Acura
had their display with the NSX, the NSX race car, which I think is
the GT3 car, yeah.
And then some other concept car that they just kind of brought out, and they're like, didn't tell anybody. And they're like, look what we brought.
Yeah, and they said that's the shape of things to come. That's going to be kind of their silhouette. But you know, you have Infiniti and all kinds of other people, but there's a lot there. I mean, you know, Singer Porsche, those tricked out Porsches.
Yeah, the Singers.
Those were there. So there's a little bit for everybody, but, you know.
The worst part about that event is
$1,000 ticket.
They worse than that is the traffic. They just they don't know what they're doing.
Traffic stinks.
Like all those kids wearing the t-shirts that say volunteer just have no idea. And then the cop out front, he gets it, right? He knows how to do this traffic thing. Listen, Quail Lodge people,
go next door and talk to the Porsche event and say, don't let yours out the same time as ours.
You got to understand the concept of the zipper.
Yeah.
Right? Don't do like, you wait, five cars go, then they wait, and seven cars go. It's like, dude, we can do this on our own. Let's just zipper right in, hit that freeway, and do it. Like, getting out of the Quail event took an hour and a half. And then once we hit the freeway where the cops were, there's usually a big line, no line. And they're like, just go. So we were going to go back to the house and change and whatever, and then go to the Ferrari event. It took so long, we had to leave the Quail to go to the Ferrari event, and we show up, and Adam's wearing two different shades of plaid. He looks like a homeless guy, and he's like got half a buzz, and he's wearing like shorts and a hoodie and plaid shorts. He you know, it's like he just got
Where'd
out of bed.
Where'd you pick that dude up?
Yeah, it's like, well, what are you wearing your pajamas to the Ferrari event? Everyone's in there with like a sport coat on and stuff, and then they're like, oh, you need to go talk with Edwin, who's we spoke to him before. He's the CEO of Ferrari North America, and he's looking at Adam going,
Yeah, maybe you're not the right person to represent Ferrari here tonight.
Yeah. That wasn't what rubbed them the wrong way. I think it was when Adam said, I own 7 Lamborghinis. The guy's like, hit the brakes, buddy. But then I was like, yeah, but we're going to sell 5 of them. And he's like, all right, you can stay.
To get a Porsche.
Yeah, to buy a Porsche.
Oh, you're out of here. So, but yeah, I know you guys were headed there, and the house that we rented, because up there, when you got a big group of people renting a house, it's pretty. The road that goes right behind the Ferrari Cafe or Casa Ferrari,
yeah,
that went right up to our house. So I had to come as far as you guys to change because we had to film at RM Sotheby's because they had set roped an area off, and I was sitting with one of the bidders, and they were filming us, and I'm talking to him, asking him questions, and so I had to go up to the house, change really quick, and then shoot all the way back into town and be there. And I'm like, I get there all sweaty and, you know.
Yeah.
But that's what Monterey's all about. It's like you go from thing to thing to thing. And as I drove by Casa Ferrari, I was like, because I had the invite to go. And I'm like, oh, look, they're all having a big party. I got to go work. So
speaking of going to RM and sitting with one of the bidders, Brad was my wingman.
That's right, buddy.
So Adam... As you know, we did this film, Winning the Racing Life of Paul Newman. I remember sitting in the editing bay with Adam. You know, he must have watched the movie 100 times with a yellow pad, just taking notes and editing it, just fine-tooth comb. I probably did it a half a dozen times. And there's this part in the movie that we absolutely love, and it's when it's Paul Newman going to Le Mans. It's 1979, his one time at Le Mans, and he's racing this 935 Porsche with Dick Barber and Rolf, and it's just, it, you know, even with us cutting it down, it's got to be 10 minutes of the movie because it's such a great story. Like, that's the pinnacle of racing, you know. Like, look what you know, with anybody that's into that type of racing, you know, Patrick Dempsey, you know, his dream is always to go to Le Mans. He's been fortunate enough to do it a couple of times now. But if you are able to go, you obviously want to do well. I don't think Patrick Dempsey has podiumed yet, but he's been like fourth. So we're watching this segment
of the movie.
That's why
nobody remembers.
We're watching this segment of movie again and again and again. We're looking at this amazing Porsche 935.
And those iconic pits. You can't... Yeah. You just, know, they're just...
And the huge wing on the back. It's red. It's got the Hawaiian Tropic livery on it. And you hear all the stories about how that happened. And Paul Newman and his team win first in his class and second overall at Le Mans. And he's like, it was great. I loved racing it. But there was such a big, like, just a paparazzi kind of event. It's changed over the years. Like, back then, he couldn't even leave the pits because all the press was around the car getting photos. And he literally had to hit people with the car to get it out.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see that in the movie, which they don't do that now. So he never went back to Le Mans as a driver. That makes the car even more special. And we always sat there and watched that segment. Adam's like, I wonder where that car is. And it's one of these things where you're like, if you don't know where it is, it's not in this country. And it turns out a guy in Europe owned the car. And lo and behold, leading up to Monterey, the press started hitting about the Gooding auction. They have the 935. It's going up for auction. We're all excited about it. They're like, the estimate's $4.5 to $5.5 million. We got a little less excited about it. That's a lot of money. It really is a lot of money. And
yeah, it is.
It is.
So, because you could buy a nice tract home in L.A. for that guy.
That's right. You'd get a condo in L.A. for that. So Adam and I had a couple of really long conversations about this thing almost every single day for 2 months about, you know, can we get the car? And if so, how do we get it? And what do we got to sell? And how quickly can we sell stuff? And, you know, how do we, you know, sort of liquidate some of the collection? And then overall, it's like, what are we doing to the collection? Are we, you know, what's the overall goal with the collection? And, you know, because we've been acquiring these other cars over the years.
These other Paul Newman race cars and memorabilia.
But Paul Newman race cars and the vintage Lamborghinis.
Yes.
And you know, some cars are really special and some of them are just good investments. And, you know, when you start off, you know, like, you know, I'll start off with a $20,000 car, then work your way up to a $50,000 and then to a $200,000 car and then to a $1 million car. And this is sort of how you build your collection. And, you can either acquire a bunch, like if you're a Mustang lover, you can have a whole room of $30,000 cars or $150,000 cars. And then there's some guys like a Bruce Meyer be like, you know, that guy probably started with a $100,000 car and then went up to, you know, $500,000, then $1 million. And now he's got a collection of cars that are worth 20 or 30 million.
That are multi-millions, yeah.
Right. But he's the guy that doesn't have 180 cars, but he's got 20 of the best cars.
Quantity or quality.
Right. He's got, and so the idea of the collection over of Adam Carolla's collection was, you know, it's not going to be quantity. It really is the quality of the car. And we're trying to push more to the one-off cars. You know, Adam's got this one-of-one Lamborghini Mirror SV. That's a great car to have. He's got a handful of Paul Newman cars. Two of them are GT1 championship cars that Paul Newman won four of his SCCA championships. These are two of the winning cars. Those are great cars to have.
Well, they have racing pedigree, and they are Paul Newman.
We've restored them. Adam's going to race them. Those are going to be million-dollar cars. And you're right. They've got great racing heritage. Newman owned them, and there's a lot of documentation and a movie about that. Those are cars to have. So we put together a strategy of how do we buy a Porsche 935. And most of the strategy is financing and selling shit.
Yeah, you know, it's cash.
The whole, like, do we want it or not? That's the easy part.
Yeah.
You know, the rest of it is the financing side. So and then that morning, you know, bright and early, all the guys are in the house and they're sleeping on beds and couches. They're all scrambled all over the place. And Adam's like, everybody stay here. Matt and I are going for a walk, and we went out, had a nice walk, had a nice chat, put the plan together, and then you got to do all these scenarios. It's like, you know, it's like a choose-your-own-adventure book. You know, it's like, if this happens, then what? And how high do we go? How low do we go? If it doesn't sell, if it goes too high, what do we do? And it worked out quite well. At least our plan did. We went in there, and there's this whole thing where, you know, it's more of a big spectacle if Adam goes to bid on the car and it turns into a whole thing. So he likes to sort of sit on the side, have a cocktail, and think really about what's going on, and then I go and bid.
And it's
on
easier
the car
for him to run out of the room if something goes wrong.
Right? So. Yeah. When somebody says, "Now you owe us money," he'd be like, "I didn't buy it."
It was mad. Yeah. He was going rogue on me, man.
So I went up there to bid on the car, and I was there. And I've been to auctions. I've bid on cars for Adam before, but this is the biggest one. So Brad was there with me, and I was like, "Brad, come over," and You could be my moral support. Somebody I could talk to while this thing is happening. It's like, because, you know, this is a big car. You know, we got a few minutes. This will be fine. And it was great. You came over. We went over. We stood right next to the Gooding phone bank. Like, we were at a table, and behind us, like, up on a riser.
Where all the phone bids come in.
And I'm standing there. I'm like, all right, the big car's going up. It'll be good. And then as you and I are basically having a conversation, like, opening bid, $2 million, 2-1, 2-2, 2-3, 3 million, 3-1, 3-2. And I'm like, what's going on?
Like, we better get a bid in.
And then the Gooding guy comes over and he's like, you might want to get in on this. So I throw out the first bid of ours at 3.6.
Yeah.
And then it's 6, 7, 8, 9, 4 million. And there's three guys in the room. It's me and two other guys in the room. And now it's exciting, right? It's getting really exciting. We're kind of up front. We're basically stage left. So if you're, you know, for facing the stage, where we're far off to the left, and the car is up there and it looks amazing. The crowd is excited about this car.
Well, every time the auctioneer would point at us and go, "Gentlemen, you're in at such and such." Every head in the room would go, "Boom."
Just look. They're like, "Who?" Everybody's looking.
I know.
There was cameras, and Esquire was filming stuff. Yeah. Spike Ferris' show was filming stuff with us. So I was glad you were there to chat with me a little bit. I'm like, and the guy looks and he's looking for me for a bid, and I'm trying to slow it down. So I'm pausing before I throw in another bid. So around 4 million, one of the guys drops out. So now it's myself and somebody else in the room on the other side of the room, front row.
And we can't see who it is.
No, yeah. Clearly a VIP's in like row two. He was there for that car, or she was there for that car. Have no idea who it was. And now we're up 4-1, 4-2, 4-3. I throw in a 4-4 bid. And that guy's, I guess he's out. And the auctioneer is looking down. And now he slows it down. right? Now when you want it to go fast, he slows it down in his British accent. He's like, 4.4 million going once. Cricket, 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 going twice. Looking around the room. And then the woman behind me goes, 4.5. And I turn around and I go, sit down.
Okay. So what I heard was she went, yes.
Yes.
And you know what I got out of that afterwards when our minds weren't fried from everything? I think she was on the phone to the guy, and the guy said, what are we at, 4.4? And she got frustrated and went, yes. And the auctioneer took it as a bid.
So I'll tell you what happened. This is that guy was on the phone simultaneously with Gooding and another auction, and it was bidding on another car.
Two cars at once.
So he yelled yes into the wrong phone.
Oh, so she
said 4.5, and he's like, no, 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 not you. You know,
That's her look on her face. It was like, ah, damn it.
And then she's like, what do you mean no? And he's like, no, no, I'm on the phone with another. So now she's like, no, no, no bid. And we're at 4.4. So immediately I was like, I'm going to go to 4.6. And then she's like, no, I'm out at 4.5. So we're back at 4.4. And I think I turned to you.
You looked at me and you go, hey, we just saved 100 grand.
Yeah, I was like,
But actually with bidder's commission, there was more than 100 grand.
That's right. So. Actually, it would have been 200 because we had a bid 4.6.
Yeah.
These are $100,000 increments that you have to go. So now we felt like we saved some money. And then the bidder goes, he looks at the phone booth woman and goes, 4.4.5. I'm like, wait.
Yeah,
I didn't know I didn't know we were doing halves now. Like
he was wanting you to go 6.
Yeah.
And but she can go a 50,000? No, that's
No. So then she says out, and then he's like 4.4 again, going once. Just seemed like all the time in the world. Like I grew a beard standing there. 4.4 going twice. And then finally he's like, sold. And I get this great photo. It was like a Getty Images thing of the guy is just like screaming and pointing with his fucking hammer. You don't see me.
Yeah.
Or you off to the side. But he's like, sold. And you see up on the screen it says 4.4 million. Of course, you got to add the VIG.
Yep.
10% buyer's 10%. Fee. So now we're at $4,840,000. I look to Adam. I go over there. He gives me a big hug. He's like, awesome. Thank you. It worked exactly to plan. And he gives me a hug. And he's like, and then the guys come over with a bottle of champagne. Adam's like, have a toast. He's like, great. He's like, now go sell all my cars.
Exactly. Now go get the money.
He's like, and you got to do this fast. You know.
But wasn't it like when he said sold, didn't it like take a second? For me, it did. Like, okay, for real? All right. Shit, we got it, man. You know?
It's funny. It's because I was like, yeah. I was like, fuck yeah. And I was like, why am I so happy that I just spent $4.8 million of somebody else's money on it? I guess that's the happy part.
That's the happy part.
I'm a great spender of somebody else's money. You know,
it's like you won for the team. Oh, we don't get the trophy, but holy shit, we won for the team, man.
It's the greatest participation ribbon you can ever earn.
Yes.
You know? And it is very exciting to be in the room like that. And immediately, cameras in your face, and everybody's coming up and they're like, congratulations, great car, great buy. It's like everybody wants to know who's buying that car. And then we got some pictures with Adam and the whole our group and Sonny and the kids.
Yeah.
And all that. So we're very excited about that. We don't have the car yet. It's still sort of in transit and it's got to make a pit stop.
Quite the experience, Matt. And thanks for asking me to come up there.
I was glad you were there.
That was awesome, dude, because it was like the most I'd ever bid on a car previous to that was like 780,000. And I thought that was like, holy crap. And I was doing it for somebody else. And and it was like, you know, but that when they're going million, 2 million, 3 million, four, you know, I mean, it's just a different level. And afterwards, you know, they move the cars into the other part of the tent, the sold cars, and they have the security standing there. You're not allowed to go look at them anymore because they're no longer theirs to have people look at. And I was walking out, and the producer from BBC goes, oh, we should get a photo of you standing next to that car. And I go, yeah, let's go over there. And the security goes, oh, sir, you can't go in there.
They let us in.
No, one of the guys from Gooding walks up and he goes, oh, no, let him through. He was one of the buyers of the car. Man, I just got access, got in there. I was like, I got my photo next to the car.
That's right. Here you go. You didn't have that yellow paper. I have the piece of paper. It says 4.4 million on it. So it was great. It was so much fun to do. It was exciting.
Who was it helped us? Hans?
Hans. Yeah, he was the guy at Gooding that was sort of our car specialist assigned to us to buy that car. It was great. It was so exciting. It was a lot of fun. We're excited about bringing that car back. And, you know, and this is what I love about Adam. I'm like, what are we going to do with it? He's like, I'm fucking racing it to Monterey next year.
That's the best.
Yeah,
that's
the plan. We're going to bring it to Monterey next year and race it.
I mean, think about it, though. The heritage of the car and the fact, you know, with everything he's done and you guys have done producing the Paul Newman, mm-hmm. you know, he's going to actually get to drive the car that Paul Newman raced yeah. in, man. I mean, you know, that's pretty cool.
And this car is like the winningest 935 ever. It's been to Le Mans four times. Newman won Sebring and Daytona, and Bobby Rahal drove the car and raced it. And, like, it's got like 20 years or 30 years of racing history. And Bruce Meyer, who we love, and he has the Whittington Brothers car, the overall winner of Le Mans, he came up to me and Adam, and he looked at us, and he's like, your car is better than mine. And I was like, I think you're full of shit, but thank you. Yeah. That feels good.
That winning car is pretty awesome. But yeah. But the thing is, everybody, if you want to poke in online, you can watch the video of the car that Gooding produced. It's online. You just put in Gooding 935 Porsche, and it shows all of the wins and everything calculated. And it's just win after win after yeah. six times Sebring. I mean, it's just amazing.
It's a page of accolades. Yeah. The car's podium more than ever. I think it was documented, it has more racing miles on it than almost any other race car. Definitely more than any other 935 Porsche. It is.
Wait a minute. I should be saying, buy the documentary that that Adam produced. Help him pay for this car,
yes,
okay?
Because
it's in there, too.
The movie is available on Amazon, but if you have Amazon Prime, you can watch it for free.
Oh, there you go.
Or if you fly like Delta.
Delta.
Because it's on airplanes. All right, I know we're way over time.
But it was good in a good way. So
it was so much fun. Thanks for being there, and hopefully we guys gave you a glimpse of what it's like to buy a $5 million car, which is insane.
Plan a trip to Monterey, to Pebble Beach, Monterey Car Week. There's something for everybody. And if we ever dig up any photos of us actually bidding on the car, we'll post them on the Shift and Steer website. And because there were enough people photographing us, there's got to be some out there somewhere. So
yeah. You know, we've been talking about this other thing for a long time. We were talking about Corolla Digital and Shift
yes.
and Steer. And this podcast, Shift and Steer, is available on Corolla Digital now. It's great to be able to partner with them. Of course, you can listen to it on the shiftandsteer.com website. You can listen to it on iTunes. And we're on the Corolla Digital mobile app, and we're on the Podcast One mobile app.
So
just search
everywhere.
For Shift and Steer, and you'll be able to get it. So those of you guys that have mobile devices where maybe iTunes doesn't work so good, check out those either one of those mobile apps. Just grab the Podcast One mobile app. You can get everything on there. Hopefully everything will be great, and you'll love the show. And we've got some things coming up, more episodes coming up. We got SEMA 8 weeks. We're going to be doing some live shows there.
I know.
Some exciting stuff, and thanks for hanging out and going on our little Monterey adventure.
And everybody, if you want to see our experience in Monterey, go this week, actually. And we have posted a huge photo gallery of photos on the shiftandsteer.com site. So go there, check it out. Aaron took a bunch of shots. I took a bunch of shots. And I know Matt has some to throw in there, too. So go there. Relive the experience along with us. And that's it for now. So for me, Brad Fanshaw.
I'm Matt DeAndrea, and of course, Pete and Aaron.
We're Shift and Steer, and tell your friends about us.